From the very beginning of the book of Genesis, the Bible makes it clear that human beings are social beings. Because we are made in the image of God, as Genesis 1 so clearly states, we are meant to live in community. Because we are a reflection of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the blessed and glorious Trinity, although they have a distinct identity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they also live with one another in a community of perfect unity. And this gets to the very heart of what Genesis at the very beginning is wanting to express to us. In that reading that we had from the second chapter, community is the central theme of our text. Now, here's a striking thing. When you read Genesis chapter 1, there's this repeated refrain, and God saw that it was good. 5 times this is stated. And then on the 6th time, the sacred author puts it this way at the end of chapter 1, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, for the first time, we're going to hear that something is not good. At Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, these are the words. It's not good that man should be alone. It's so beautiful when we think of this reading from Genesis chapter 2, that the man is entrusted with this work of caring for the garden, the society in which he finds himself. He's called to till and to keep the ground. But then, after the Lord says it's not good for the man to be alone, something more needs to happen. He has to be able to orientate himself within the garden. He has to be able to name it. One of the things that I've seen in Genesis that I so appreciate, in chapter 1, God calls creation into being. That's what Genesis 1 is all about. But in Genesis chapter 2, it's the man who calls creation into meaning. God calls it into being, man calls it into meaning. Another thing I like to think about Adam is he's the first scientist. Because do you know what the word is in Greek in this text when it says he names? It's the word catalog. That's what the man is doing. He is cataloging all of the animals. He's putting them into their various species. And what we see here is this wonderful truth that he's using his intelligence to interact with the intelligible world in which he is living. And that's what it means to be human. We use our intelligence in a way that we can interact with our world in a way that is indeed intelligible. But we're told that even after having done this great scientific cataloging, he's still not satisfied. He's still alone. And so we're told that he falls into a deep sleep, and from his side, the woman is born. And as we think about what is being said here, what this passage is doing is celebrating the most fundamental unit of society, the family. And we know that this is about the family because Jesus in today's gospel, in interpreting Genesis 1 and 2, says the following. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. What we see in Genesis chapter 2 is something fundamental to a Catholic understanding of the world. That society is to be ordered in a particular way. And with the ordering of society, the most fundamental dimension of that is to ensure the protection and the preservation of the family. I talked about marriage a few weeks ago in my homily, so I'm not going to be focusing on this particular aspect of the reading this evening. What I want to move to is the second dimension of this text, that Adam, and indeed with Eve, is called to till and to keep the ground. That is, they are to be actively involved in the prospering of their society. In the psalm that we read this evening, it ended with these words, "May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life." My beloved brothers and sisters, to be Christians, to be Catholic Christians, is to be concerned for the prosperity of the societies in which we live. Within the teaching of the Catholic Church, this kind of concern for the larger society is called the common good. The Church teaches that the good of the family is the basic unit of society, But then from the family flows all of the institutions that are part of the makeup of any country, province, and city. So I want to spend the rest of my time this evening talking with you about what the church means by the common good. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it says something very, very important in chapter 1897, or paragraph 1897. And it talks about how we are to participate in the thriving of our public institutions. Listen to how it's stated there. Human society can be neither well-ordered nor prosperous. Go back to the psalm, praying for the prosperity of Jerusalem. And here in the Catechism it says, societies cannot be prosperous unless it has some people invested with legitimate authority to preserve its institutions. In other words, people who are called to political office. And what are these people to do? They are to devote themselves as far as is necessary to work and care for the good of all. That's what government exists for, to care for the good of all. But we're not only thinking about elected officials. We're thinking of all of those who are involved in assuring that the institutions of our society can function well, that they can function for the common good. And this ties in exactly with Genesis chapter 2, with Adam being called to till and to keep the ground. It ties in with Psalm 128, where we're to pray for the prosperity of Jerusalem, the prosperity of Calgary, Alberta, and Canada. So how does the church define the common good? Here's another quote from the Catechism. By common good, it is to be understood the sum total of social conditions which allow people, either as groups or as individuals, to reach their fulfillment more fully and more easily. In other words, the common good is to help individuals to thrive. It's to allow for our society to thrive and to prosper. Notice that in thinking about the common good, the Catechism says that we are to consider the sum total of the social conditions. That is, we're to look at the big picture. Now, I want you to think about this with me in relation to COVID-19. Those who are elected to public office are to seek to ensure that our institutions, and at this time particularly Alberta Health Services, can devote themselves to the care of those who need medical assistance. And again, I'm going to quote the Catechism. Why is this their work? Because they are to work for the care and the good of all. That's what our hospitals are to do. They're to care for the good of all. But at present, our system is so stressed because of the number of people who have come into the hospital with the diagnosis of COVID-19 that all elective surgeries have been canceled, so that so many people in need of medical care with unrelated COVID symptoms are not able to get the treatment that they require. This is because all of the effort is being concentrated at the moment on serving those who have COVID-19. Now, the church has spoken about this very recently. The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, also known as the CDF, is that part of the Catholic Church that seeks to help interpret how we as Catholics are to respond in moral situations in a way that is keeping with Catholic ethics and morality. On the 21st of December in 2020, they presented these words, and I'd like to read them to you now. And listen to the connection they make with the common good. This is from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Pope Benedict XVI, before he became Pope Benedict, was the prefect of the CDF throughout the papacy of St. Pope John Paul II. The CDF writes, from the ethical point of view, the morality of vaccination depends not only on the duty to protect one's own health, but also on the duty to protect the common good. In the absence of other means to stop or even to prevent the pandemic, the common good may recommend vaccination, especially to protect the weakest and the most exposed. And perhaps part of the weakest and the most exposed are those who have cancer, heart ailments, and other things where they cannot be assisted because of the crisis we are in. Last week, on the 22nd of September, Bishop McGrattan issued a letter in which he explained why religious exemption would not be given to those who choose not to be vaccinated. And he reiterated the teaching of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. So these are the words of our bishop that he wrote last week. As stated by my brother bishops and in communion with the Holy Father, it is morally permissible to receive a vaccine approved for use in Canada against COVID-19. And while there are many possible reasons for one to struggle in their conscience with such a vaccine being mandatory, and while the diocese respects the freedom of a person's individual conscience, as the Church teaches, the Church and her ministers cannot objectively attest or endorse a person's process of discernment in coming to their decision of conscience. Therefore, the diocese and the parishes will not be issuing any letters of exemption from vaccination. What this means, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the following: that each of us has to work through this for him or herself. But the diocese cannot write letters of support, either for those who choose to be vaccinated or those who choose not to be vaccinated. I want to read one more paragraph from the bishop's letter. This is very important to hear. If vaccination will be mandated, there must also be on part of legitimate authorities the necessary provisions of reasonable accommodation which respects and promotes the dignity of the individual conscience and the decision of conscientious objection. Here the bishop is saying, the conscience of the individual has to be respected. And if for a number of reasons a person does choose conscientious objection, that is, not to be vaccinated, there has to be a way to protect these decisions that people have made within the context of our society. But listen what the bishop also says for those who, for maybe very good reasons of their own conscience, choose not to be vaccinated. He writes, however, those who choose not to be vaccinated for whatever reason must do their utmost to ensure that they take all precautionary measures possible to avoid places and circumstances where they and others would be most vulnerable. They must also follow the health and safety measures, not only to prevent contracting the virus for themselves, but also preventing others from becoming sick. Listen to the last thing he says. This is everyone's moral responsibility. Why? Because to be Catholic means that we are committed to the common good. It's at the very heart of the Church's social teaching. And the other thing about being a Catholic Christian is we don't form our conscience apart from the Church. We are part of the one holy Catholic and apostolic Church, and the Church has been given to us to help guide us and to lead us in the forming of our conscience. But of course, at the end of the day, everyone has to come to that place where they have thought and allowed for their consciences to be well informed, and then come to a decision. So in conclusion, as we continue to consider the impact of COVID-19 on our city and our province, and how to discern how we should respond as Catholic teachings, this teaching of the common good that is talked about implicitly in Genesis chapter 2, explicitly in the Psalm, and very clearly by the CDF and our bishop, this is something that we need to take into consideration as we help to inform our conscience. If a person does decide to exercise conscientious objection to the vaccination, this does need to be respected. At the same time, I would invite any who are struggling with the vaccine to reach out to me. I would be more than honored to listen to you and to speak with you more about what the Catholic Church is teaching at this time. My beloved brothers and sisters, I'm 60 years old, and I have never known a crisis in my lifetime like COVID-19. The importance of not only identifying this crisis, but accentuating what it means to be a Catholic Christian in the midst of this crisis invites us to remember that it is not good for us to be alone, as Genesis 2 states. You and I are made in the image of God, as is everyone in the city of Calgary, the province of Alberta. And because we are made in God's image, we are to seek and promote the common good, so that in relation to this pandemic, we will devote ourselves as far as is necessary to work for the care and the good of all.